Great, thank you, Rob, for that opening. And yeah, I might be a little bit jet-lagged. I did just get back from Amsterdam. But it is nice to be able to understand the language of a church service for the first time in a few weeks. It makes you appreciate it more when everyone's speaking English and you can understand everything. But in any case, this morning we're looking at Luke chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Luke chapter 3 as we've been going through the book of Luke. We'll be this morning looking at the passage between verses 1 and 22 of Luke chapter 3. And before we start reading this, I just would like to open in prayer. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you that because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow and that we can have a hope and a future. We pray now, as we look into Luke chapter 3, that you would guide our thoughts, help me to present clearly. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and meet needs that may be unknown and known only to you. And we just ask that you would be at work here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we'll start in chapter 3 of Luke, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than what is appointed you. The soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether or not he were the Christ, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I am coming, or cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he shall burn with unquenchable fire. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added this yet above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And so we stop there. Just to give you a little bit of an introduction to this passage, we had finished chapter 2, and that would have been about 18 years have elapsed since chapter 2 finished here. And in chapter 2, Jesus would have been about 12 years old, and now he would be approximately 30 years old. And John would have been about, or he was 6 months older than Jesus. Just an interesting note is that it was at the age of 30 that a man usually started the priesthood. And a reference to that is Numbers chapter 4. There are also other accounts of John, and the passage that we read is also found in Matthew, Mark, and in John. It was mentioned in the previous message that each gospel has its own theme or an angle that it portrays Christ from. So Matthew shows Christ primarily as Jesus as King and Messiah. Mark would portray Jesus' servant leadership. And John focuses on his deity, that Jesus is God. And then here we are in Luke, and he's describing Christ from a human perspective. So as we look at not just this section, but the entire book of Luke, we see a bit more of the side of Christ's humanity, in that that doesn't contradict his other attributes that are seen in the other books, but that's more the angle that we see here. So the outline for this morning, so you know where we are as we go along, is broken into three different sections. The first two verses are giving you a little bit of this setting for that time period, the rulers, and I'll just mention a little bit about each of the rulers of that time. That's verse 1 and 2, and then 2 to verse 20, it's the largest or the bulk of the message. We see John the Baptist. We see who he is, what his message is, and his proclamation. And then the last two verses that we look at, verse 21 and 22, we see the baptism of Jesus, and we see that we see his deity actually in there as well. So starting out with the leaders in verses 1 and 2, we'll see these are real historical people. They are, this is factual events. It gives Luke gives some of the setting to that time period, and you see that throughout the Bible, it's not just some story that someone made up. These are real people. These are real events that took place. So put yourself in that time period and just think about how you would be feeling if you were in that day and age. So Tiberius Caesar, first ruler mentioned, he was emperor of Rome, and he was not someone who served or honored God. He was the one that was in charge of ruling over Israel, and we see Israel was not free or independent at this time. They were governed by Roman rule. Next man mentioned is Pontius Pilate. Most people probably are familiar with this man. He was the appointed governor of Judea, and then later on at Christ's crucifixion, he was still governor 3 years later. He was said to have been a very cruel and insensitive person towards Jewish people. Next we have Herod, and this would have been Herod Antipas, which was the son of Herod the Great. And John speaks a little more about Herod Antipas later on, but Herod had taken the wife of his half-brother Philip, and John opposed that. Herod was a tetrarch, and in case you didn't know, a tetrarch is a ruler of a fourth part, is what that means. And when Herod the Great died, this Herod here, which is also the Herod when Jesus died, became one of the rulers. Philip was the next individual here. He was a half-brother to the Herod we just mentioned. And he was also considered an evil ruler, just maybe not as bad as Herod. And then the last ruler here is Licinius. And just summary, he was also corrupt and cruel. So just looking at those men that we talked about, they were all evil rulers. And if you lived in that time, you would say things look pretty bleak and grim. And these are ungodly times. And we could say that in our world today, we see a lot of things that look bleak and grim or in turmoil. But it should be noted that even in this time, there were people that were righteous and served God. And John the Baptist's parents were among those. It says in Luke 1:6, they were both righteous before God. And it was in this time period that the greatest event in history was about to take place. So even though it looked really dark, there was a great light that would be coming. I just mentioned the religious leaders here, Annas and Caiaphas. So Annas he wasn't officially the high priest at this time, but he was the recognized leader. He was the one that it would seem he had the power, and he was older than Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest that Rome appointed, but he was not quite as influential as Annas. And then later on in the crucifixion of Jesus, we see that Jesus was taken to Annas first, and then they went to Caiaphas. But all in all, having these two high priests was not in the Old Testament. It was not the way it was designed to be. And we can see that even among the religious leaders of that time, there was a lot of corruption. And wasn't the way it was intended to be. So if you were a Jewish person at that time, you might have thought that your biggest problem was the leaders, the rulers, your surroundings, the Romans, and a lot of people may have been looking for a leader that would come and save them and be their the man that would rescue them. But John here is preaching repentance, and I think what many people failed to realize was that their greatest problem was actually themselves and their need for repentance. We can have the same thing. We can say, it's all because of my surroundings or in my environment or circumstances that things are gone wrong. But John is saying, no, the problem is with me. I need to change. I need to repent and be made right with God. And Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's you and that's me. And there is a way for a future and a hope in life. In any of these circumstances, rulers or troublesome times cannot prohibit God's grace or his love from reaching you. And that was an encouraging thought to me. So we'll start in now about the life of John the Baptist. He's been mentioned already in some of the previous messages. He was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was born 6 months before his cousin Jesus. His birth had been foretold by an angel. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was someone that did not drink wine or strong drink. He had a very simple diet. I don't think he was overweight. locusts and wild honey. He lived in the wilderness. He had rough clothing, it says. And being in the wilderness all this time, he wouldn't have lived in that culture or been exposed to the environment of the time as much as everyone else. Basically said he was a unique person. He was a messenger, and he was a voice that was coming before Christ to foretell his birth. And we see that in verse 4, where it says, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That actually comes from Malachi 2:17 to 3 verse 1 and Isaiah 40 verses 3 to 5. About 700 years before, there had been prophecy about John coming. So it had been, 700 years since he had been prophesied that he would come. There had been 400 years of silence from prophets at this point in time. And then John was foretold before his birth, but now that was 30 years ago. If you and I were in that position, we might wonder, what's going on? Why is he out in the wilderness? What's happening? Why are we still waiting? But we can be encouraged not to give up hope. God's timing is perfect. He knew when things were supposed to happen. And the same for us. We should live each day to the fullest and walk in what he's shown you for today and trust him for the future. And just take one step at a time. Jesus will not fail, and his timing will be perfect. John was there to proclaim Christ. He was sent. He had a purpose. He had a calling. And it wasn't about himself. He was there to prepare for the coming Messiah. At that time, I've read that baptism was used when a Gentile wanted to enter Judaism. So John was baptizing people in the baptism of repentance. For the Jewish people to take that, it would be as them saying, we believe your message, John, and that what he is saying is true. And they're identifying with their need to get right with God. That being said, this external or outward act is not something that, it's worthless if it's not accompanied by an inward change. And that inward change of mind is what the outward act is demonstrating. It's not the outward act that changed them. Don't make that too complicated there. But it started from inside. We will read more about John later in the book of Luke. But he's mentioned even in Acts. There was a Jewish man named Apollos who at one point was teaching only about the baptism of John until it was explained further to him. And then Paul explains in Acts 19 how that John taught the people so they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So water baptism today is not the same as the water baptism of John. Again, a believer's baptism does not bring eternal salvation whatsoever, but it is a step of obedience that is laid out in the Bible and is commanded by the Lord. And it shows an identification with Jesus' death and resurrection. So we're told that John lived in the desert. Many, many people flocked to hear him. His goal was not to make himself great, as I mentioned, but rather to show forth the greatness of Christ. And I think our goal should be the same thing, that we're not there to create a following for our own agenda, but rather we're pointing someone in the direction of Christ. Some of the people who came were not sincere. We know Pharisees were self-religious, self-righteous and hypocritical. Sadducees came and they denied things such as the resurrection. And John didn't try to lure people in like that. He didn't even try to be culturally polite, I guess. He was clear, he was genuine. He said that, he calls them a brood of vipers. And he just relayed the message clear and plain. He told about judgment that was coming. He preached repentance. So I just want to say a few things about repentance. Repentance is not the same as regret. It's more than regret. It's like a turning. If you're going some way, it's turning from something and turning around to something else. And it's when you say, when God says it, you do it. You hear it, and you also do it. And the word repentance isn't so much a feeling that you may have, but rather an action or a change in direction. In verse 8, John talks about Abraham, about people who were trusting in Abraham as their father. But he's clear here, being a child of Abraham will not make anyone eternally secure. And just because of your affiliation or because of who you are born to or the family you're raised in will not bring salvation. You must be born again, and you must make your own choice as an individual. And that's still true today. This next part of the chapter, John speaks to the people about bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. And he gives a fairly simple message. He says to the people to, just to summarize, to give, be kind, to be fair, to show integrity, gentleness, contentment. And it shows that repentance is not genuine if it doesn't change your life. And Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And there's other passages as well. It was mentioned that the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And once the tree is cut down, that's where it is going to fall. And the Lord was going to come, and he would make, he would be judging all things. And all things will be made right. But we have today to make our decision as to what our future will be. Verse 15, we bring in where people were wondering if John was the Messiah. He was very popular. He was well known. People came from all over Israel to hear him. And John certainly could have taken this and had some pride and looked at this great following of people and said, yeah, I can do something with this. But instead, he pointed to Christ. He says, in another place, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. I wonder if we can say the same thing for ourselves. He proclaimed the greatness of someone greater than them, than himself. He was given the message first. We see that in verse 2. And then he told it to others. And he completed the purpose that he had been given. Verse 16 is an interesting mention about John not being worthy to loose the latchet of the shoes of of Jesus' shoes. And apparently at that time, there was rabbis who said that they were allowed to ask almost anything of their followers. They could tell them to do most anything. But one of the things that they were not supposed to ask of their followers was to have them take their shoes off, because that was too far, that was too humbling and too humiliating to say, hey, you got to take off my sandals. But then, if you look at it that way, you see John says, I'm not even, like, that would be the low, and then, like, that would be, like, way down there. John says, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. And he showed that he's not even close to being on the same level as Jesus. He realized how great God is and how he showed reverence, honor, and he really exalted Christ. And I think we should do the same, and sometimes we perhaps lose sight of that. Getting close to the end here, it talks briefly about the baptism. Jesus would bring in another baptism unto the people. We'll just look close or briefly at this. It seems that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a blessing that took place at the Pentecost, and the baptism of fire is judgment to come for all unbelievers. We see that kind of followed through in verse 17, where it says that he would purge the floor and he would complete judgment. So we know that on earth a lot of things are not judged righteously. Some people get away with things that they should never have gotten away with. I was in Holland March the 2nd, 80 years ago. There was 46 people that were shot or massacred right outside of my grandparents' house. And so there was a memorial there every year. So I was there and actually got to see some of the children from the people who were massacred, and some of the nieces and nephews and grandchildren and children. And yeah, it was pretty powerful to see and be there and the trauma that they experienced. And you could say, well, justice can never be done for them. But we only see this side of eternity. And God will judge righteously, and he will bring judgment, the righteous judgment. And I wonder what is your current trajectory in life? And where is your final destination? Ephesians says that it's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. If we are out there trying to accomplish our own path to God and our own way to God on our terms and in our strength, we will come short and we will fail. Because we are, if John the Baptist was low and he was considered the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, then we're like down out of the stage, at least I am. There's no way we could get to God in our own strength. This brings us, we're getting very close to the end at the time that we have. I do want to mention a few things about Herod and John being cast into prison, because Herod put John in prison because John had spoken up against what he was doing. And the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, I have written somewhere here, Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 clearly say that what John was doing was, or that what Herod was doing was wrong. But John could have been there, and I'm just imagining, thinking to himself, well, there's a lot of people coming. I'm preaching to many people. Many people are being baptized and changed. Maybe I should just leave Herod out of my message because, you know, at least I could still have a softer message and have some impact. You know, he could probably have justified that. But that was not John. He told the truth plainly, regardless of the consequences. And I think that we can't alter God's message. We're told to give the whole counsel of God, and it's not our message. If John had not given God's message, he wouldn't have been the preacher he was, and it was God's work, not his. So John simply relayed this message. It was like what Jesus says, the world will hate you because it hated Jesus first. And there's many examples. We could go through many people who have stood firm. There was Daniel, his three friends that were thrown into the fire. Jeremiah was thrown in prison. Caleb and Joshua almost got stoned by their own people. Paul, he was abandoned by many people. And even in this, we don't have the time to look at all the references, but Acts 20, 24, Paul talks about finishing his course with joy. There's joy in serving. And even in this, he was rejected by people and had a difficult time. But he says he declared the whole counsel of God. Jude 1, verse 3 says, it exhorts us to earnestly contend for the faith. In Acts 15, it calls for us to be steadfast and know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So will we choose to please man or choose to please God? Now to wrap up the last section here of Jesus' baptism, we see, as I mentioned, the Trinity is in these verses. We see that the Holy Ghost was there. The Father was speaking to the beloved Son. So we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus would have walked about 60 miles to come to this. It was an important event for him. And here, it was as if he identified with the human race. He was not a sinner. There are some that would teach that, well, Jesus was man up to this point, and this is when he became God. But that is not in here. That's clearly not accurate. John even says in another place that Jesus came before him. Even though Jesus was born after John, he was before him because Jesus is God. So with that, I think I'll just give a recap of everything we talked about and then close. As we looked at in verse 1 and 2, we saw the evil rulers. We saw the setting of that time, the turmoil, the bleakness, the wilderness. But even in this, God still had people that served him. And he was still at work, and a great light was about to shine. And to us, we live in the midst of an evil and troublesome time, but don't lose heart, don't be discouraged, because God will overcome even in these dark times. Walk in him each day and don't give up, don't be discouraged in that way. We looked at John the Baptist, a bold man, clear, non-compromising. He preached repentance, he preached judgment, he preached Christ's coming. And he did not seek his own advancement. He proclaimed Christ, just as he had been told. And have you heard and understood the message of Christ? And if you have, do you tell and demonstrate this to others in your life? You have a purpose in life, and it's not something to just float through, but there is a purpose for each of your lives. And then finally, in Jesus' baptism, we see that Jesus was the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's fully human, but he never gave up his position as Holy God. And the Father said he was well pleased. In and of ourselves, we could never please God. And however, with Christ, God is well pleased. And if we have Christ, then yeah, the Father is well pleased. So let's just close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we come to you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for John the Baptist, how he stood firm and proclaimed the message of your coming and was the forerunner. And he realized that he was just a voice, and you were the one who created him and gave him any abilities that he had, and he pointed people to you. We pray that you would help us to do the same. So we ask for your guidance the rest of this day and the week ahead of us. Bring each one safely to their homes. In Jesus' name, amen.